The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The Pick Six Podcast here at the Fountains at the Bellagio. Fountains are firing, and boys, that can only mean one thing.
Ooh, what's that?
Tuesdays with Brady. Oh,
gotta love it.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Brady, Tyrone Quinn, Lige the Legend Dusable. Well, Brenton, all right, let's get to it, boys.
It's the best intro ever.
It really was. Great intro.
I should have seen that coming, honestly.
I'm done. I'm out. That's
all I have to do. Hang it up.
Good Vulcan stands on it.
All right, here we go. We're talking to edges in terms of coaches, players on both sides, Super Bowl 58, Kansas City Chiefs. Who are they playing?
The San Francisco
49ers.
Yeah, think about that for a second.
That was fire. They got me.
All right, let's get right into it. So coaches Andy Reid versus Kyle Shanahan, of course, and Brenton, we have a bit that we've done for years on the Pick Six Podcast. You want to do the dance, or should we just say the words?
Andy Reid, off the bye. Andy Reid, off the bye. And you get a bye in the Super Bowl, don't you, Brady?
Yeah. You do. I mean, sort of. Kind of a bye, right?
Yeah, kind of.
I guess that's how we'd call it that. But both teams get a bye, so it's a little more equal.
The Chiefs got an extra bye with that Ravens offense. Am I right?
Oh, no! My God. On fire.
So,
the interesting thing about that, right, because people always make a big fuss about Andy Reid off the bye. I believe he's 28-3. But let's not forget, in games where he's off the bye, but the other team is off the bye, he's 3-3.
That's right.
That's something to think about.
Playing field.
And he hasn't been very good against a spread recently off the bye either, which is kind of
– But they're good as an underdog. So let's just keep throwing out ways to talk. Just contradict each other the entire show.
All right, let's take it a step further.
Pat Mahomes off the bye.
Right.
If we're giving an edge, let's just not talk about from the rest standpoint, just from the experience standpoint. Yeah. You know, Andy Reid's been here before. I saw someone talk about this earlier. I don't know if it was one of you guys who tweeted it out, but like, is Kyle Shanahan at the Andy Reid phase when he was in Philly as far as getting to the Super Bowls, not able to win it yet?
Ooh, I like that.
I think the difference, too, though, when you incorporate Andy Reid as part of, you know, an edge and all this, you have to include Steve Spagnuolo. He's been phenomenal on this stage as a defensive coordinator, and obviously that's part of how we're talking about Andy Reid. It's the staff too, and that edge that I think the staff has in Kansas City over the San Francisco 49ers. But I do think it's close. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's really been as good as anyone offensively as far as putting up plays and so forth to make some hay. So I think it's a little closer than people realize.
And I think too that with Andy Reid, and I've talked about this, sort of comparing him to Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson won his first major, and then they started flying off the shelves, right? Yeah. Like he started winning, and because the pressure is relieved, it's a lot easier to win. And I think Kyle Shanahan is dealing with that pressure that Andy Reid was facing, you know, before he actually broke through and won one with Patrick Mahomes. And the reality is there's more pressure on Kyle Shanahan than anyone else in this entire game when it comes on Sunday. Having said that, I still think that Kyle Shanahan is probably getting a bad rap when it comes to people saying, oh, he can't win the big one. I mean, he's gotten to the big one several times.
Right. We'll find out in a second. And by the way, this segment brought to you by America's Navy. Shout out to our servicemen and women all over the globe. Oh, yeah. Legion, let me ask you this. And Brady mentioned Steve Spagnuolo, one of the best defensive coordinators ever.
Ooh, That's, I mean, when you think about it, right, let's not forget what he did to that perfect team, New England Patriots, right, and how he was able to slow Tom Brady and Randy Moss and the rest of those guys down. So I would have to say he is one of those guys. I think it's something to be said when the players on your team are wearing in Spags We Trust t-shirts, right? And I played in this defense my rookie year. It's a complicated defense, Brady. Like, there's a lot of mental strain on each player. And as defensive players, most of the time, we just want to play free and loose, right? We don't have to think a lot. But in this defense, Steve Spagnuolo makes you think. And I think it's something to be said for his players to play at the level that they're playing at when he's taxing them so much mentally.
I think you can make the case that if Patrick Mahomes is the best thing to ever happen to Andy Reid, then Steve Spagnuolo going 10-38 with the Rams is the second best thing that ever happened to Andy Reid. Yeah. Because of that record, because of how poorly he did in St. Louis, he hasn't gotten looks as a retread possible, as a retread candidate for a head coaching position. And that means he's sticking around and really allowing this defense to flourish.
I would just say this. He has to be breathing somewhat of a sigh of relief in the sense of not having to deal with a quarterback like Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
You know, the dual threat ability, the way they had to go about designing ways to keep not only one spy, but sometimes two spies out there to try to keep him within the pocket, force him to throw the football. Different challenge this week, though, because then you have the Swiss Army knives like Debo, like Christian McCaffrey, like Kyle Juszczyk. So many players who can do so many different things. So different challenge, but you know Steve Spagnuolo will have his Rolodex of blitzes, his disguise of coverages and things that he wants to do to try to take really some of those players out of the game. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be Ayuk or if it's going to be Kittle or whatever it is. Usually they're trying to eliminate someone within that pass game.
And that's the chess matchup, right, between Steve Spagnuolo and Kyle Shanahan, because Kyle Shanahan is one of the best at pre-snap motion, right? And you talked about Steve Spagnuolo. Exotic blitzes, show you this way, come this way, will travel to Jarius Sneed. But will he do that this week with so much pre-snap motion? That is something to watch in this game.
So Andy Reid has 25 playoff wins, only six behind Bill Belichick. Brady,
that's crazy.
If he wins this game, where are we placing him among the pantheon of greatest coaches of all time?
I mean, he's up there. He's still not obviously at Bill Belichick's level, probably not Chuck Knoll and some of those you throw in that conversation. But I think he's in that next group that you talk about who's got three Super Bowls. And you look at obviously his track record of getting there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that always stood out to me about Bill Belichick in the course of the Patriots is they went to 9.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. They were there for, what, 19 seasons together?
They could have 9 Super Bowls?
They could have gone 8-9-0 or 1-8 in those
Eli Manning. Eli Manning.
It's hard enough to get to the playoffs, let alone get there and then make a run.
Right.
And the success that Andy Reid has had has been ridiculous so far with Kansas City, but his body of work is up there. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, but also is one of the best.
I think right now you would say he is a slam dunk top 10 coach of all time. And if he wins on Sunday, then I think you push him to the top 5.
I'm probably going to say something that nobody agrees with here.
Here we go.
I think if he wins this one, he has to be considered, if not the best head coach of all time, the second best head coach of all time. And I say this, right, because we always, like, people are so reactionary,
the
right?
The greatest offensive head coach of all time.
I'm talking about head coach, period, right? Because, you know, and this is why I say that, right? When you look at his body of work, like you talked about, let's not forget, not only is he having the success that he had with Kansas City, 6 straight AFC championship games, what, 4 Super Bowls? Let's not forget when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Great.
He had a run of 4 straight NFC championship games and a Super Bowl appearance. Like, let's not forget when Bill Belichick was with the Browns, it didn't look good, right? He had a sub 500 record. So I always like to look at somebody's body of total work. For him to do it, not just at one team, Brady, but two. I get you looking at me crazy. I get that.
But come on.
He's done it multiple places at a high level.
You can make a case for Joe Gibbs, who wins 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, go give Joe Gibbs Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. He would have probably gladly accepted that and been able to make that work too.
But nobody was trying to draft Patrick Mahomes until Andy Reid was. So you have to give him credit.
Well, we don't necessarily know someone else wasn't going to trade up too, right?
He got But would he have been Patrick Mahomes who he is right now?
No.
Maybe not. We don't know that. But
that's
we also don't know if Tom Brady would be Tom Brady without Bill Belichick. So we can go down that rabbit hole.
Right.
We're never going to answer that question.
Right.
My whole point is I think it becomes really difficult because of the different eras. You look at Chuck Knoll, for example, who had so much success over those 4 Super Bowls. What, they have like 88 players?
Players were like this.
Those four teams.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like nowadays, that's a year or two.
Yeah,
there's so much turnover on your staff and on your roster. Every coach has had different challenges. There's no doubt, though, Andy Reid. I think, to your point, would probably be considered top 5, top 4.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Kyle Shanahan quickly here because we mentioned earlier that he has struggled in the biggest moments. He's only 44 years old. No one on this set is 40s, it turns out. I'll leave it at that. But he had the 28-3.
He's higher than 40.
Oh, right.
Wow.
So here you see the largest bowling leads in NFL. It was 28-3 the situation with the Falcons in 2016. Yeah. Shout out to Chris Hassler, our colleague, for calling Matt Ryan, our colleague, a game manager.
Oh, man.
That was nice.
Yeah, that was something else.
And then in 2019, blew the 20-10 lead against the Chiefs. The Chiefs came back strong in the fourth quarter and won that game.
Yeah.
That said, Brents, in the last two games, Brock Purdy has helped lead this team from comfort behind victories. Where are you on Kyle Shanahan and the moniker that he might choke in the biggest
game? Well, I mean, here's the thing is, like, to give up the biggest leads in Super Bowl, and the two biggest leads coughed up in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to have the two biggest leads in Super Bowl. Like, you have to have those leads in order to give them up. And that means that Kyle Shanahan has done a tremendous job game planning his offenses for those big games. So I don't know if it's so much a chokes in the big moment as things get a little snug.
Let's call it what it is. Like, the defense has to make some plays,
correct,
too, at that point.
Yeah.
And on top of it, you know, look, I'm not going to take all the blame off in those collapses. Sometimes you got to play better complementary football.
Correct.
Sometimes you got to find a way of, you know, making the right decision.
He wasn't even head coach for one of them, by the way.
Right. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons, like, he's not making all of that. So I don't really read too much into it. I mean, they're looking at this matchup, this specific game this year. They're not worried about the past.
And by the way, when you win, it's over. No, it's over.
That's right. Well, I look at it like this, right? Yeah, he struggled in those two Super Bowls. Like you talked about, Brenton. One, he was just a coordinator, wasn't even the head coach. And if you go back to that 2020 Super Bowl versus the Kansas City Chiefs, let's not forget, they were up, like you said, 10 points, I believe, going into the fourth quarter, only about 8 minutes left. And they had an opportunity after Kansas City cut it to three, right? Raheem Mostert comes out, first down, runs 5 yards, then two passes after that. I think that's what a lot of people have questioned Kyle Shanahan, like the consistency in the run game, because everything is based off the run game. When you look at that 28-3 loss that they had, not 28, they were up 28-3 versus the Patriots, and then the Patriots came back. A lot of people were saying, why aren't you running the ball more in the second half? So I think this game, we'll see a change in regards to CMC, Christian McCaffrey, really featured in this game.
The thing that would concern me, though, is the game planning for the first two playoff games that we've seen from them hasn't been very good.
Yeah.
They came out and it was too reliant on Deebo Samuel. He gets hurt, the game plan falls apart, and then in the second week, you know, against the Lions, you come out and try and force Christian McCaffrey, and when you do get Deebo involved, the offense really takes off.
And look, Purdy didn't play great, you know, down the stretch. He did it in the second half, too. That was part of it. But I would say the last thing is the difference to me, too, is Andy Reid. Look at the second half of the AFC Championship game. People were like, oh, the Ravens shut them out. Well, KC also got more conservative. They started running the football more. They started to take more time off the clock when they tried to slow down the game. So maybe that's Kyle Shanahan takes one out of Andy Reid's playbook with how they play the second half if they do have a lead.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do a pick six pick. Give me a name. Which head coach are you taking?
Andy Reid, off the bye.
Yeah, Andy Reid, for sure.
Andy Reid.
All right. We'll take a break when we come back. Browns rookie Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Las Vegas native, is going to join us right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast here on CBS Sports HQ, live at the Bellagio. See the fountains there. Beautiful nighttime shot here. Super Bowl 58. Kansas City, San Francisco. Back with Brady Quinn, Lee J. Dusable. This segment is presented by America's Navy. We are joined by Las Vegas native Cleveland Browns rookie quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And, guys, you don't know this, but Dorian Thompson-Robinson and I have something in common.
What is that?
Both born in Columbia, South Carolina.
That's right, baby.
That is correct.
And that's where it is.
But wait, neither of you were Gamecocks, though.
His mom was a Gamecock.
Oh, your mom was. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah, she took that one for me.
I took a visit. I've been to Columbia.
He's buried in the lead. Your mom was there getting her PhD, correct?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there you go.
So
you want to follow her footsteps?
Nah, man. I took a visit up there.
Okay.
I took a visit up there, but you can't beat California, dude.
I hear you.
You can't
beat California.
I'm a West Coast kid, so. Yeah.
So, LeJ, we have two Cleveland Browns quarterbacks on the set here.
Yeah.
And, DTR, you'll be happy to know I'm a Steelers fan. You started against the Steelers.
Yeah.
And you got a big win against them. How did your rookie year play out? Because I remember watching you in the preseason, and you were going crazy. You were going off. And I said, one of the things, because I covered the draft as well, I watched you at UCLA, and I said he does a lot of things well. I'd like to see him maybe throw a little bit more anticipation. And weeks 1, 2, and 3 of the preseason, you look like C.J. Stroud at some point. And I was incredibly impressed with the way your season unfolded. What'd you take away from that and the learning process and the ups and downs?
Yeah, man, I think the biggest thing for me, and, you know, everybody talks about my Ravens game and that first start I got in there and thrown into the fire. For me, that was the biggest blessing of my whole season. That was my defining moment for me for my rookie year. Learned a lot. Those two guys on the other side of the ball, and Patrick and Roquan, two of the best linebackers I've ever faced. And like I said, they taught me a lot about not only the league, but about myself and my playing style and how I can work on things. So
I'm always curious just your development and learning the offense, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you looked phenomenal in the preseason. I think it gave everyone kind of a hint of like, hey, you've got this under your belt. Then you get in the regular season, it's a little different, right?
Right.
Game planning week to week, how different that can change. But you had a guy who obviously had NFL roots too with Chip Kelly at UCLA. So just talk to me about, I guess, your transition and what that was like once you got in there and were playing.
Yeah, so I mean, I came in a fifth-round rookie. Yeah. You know, we got Deshaun at the time. We had two other guys in the room. So I wasn't getting a lot of reps, right? So the mental side of things, it really taught me that, you know, that's going to be the most important thing for you. It's not the physical reps and the practice reps, but being able to take it in the bag, take it from the classroom out to the practice field, even if you're not getting those reps physically, just being able to hone in on, like I said, your skill set, your job, what you got to do on a day in, a day out basis to be able to perform still on Sundays.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what the preseason taught me for sure.
Yeah. DTR, coming into the league, and Brady, you can attest to this, we always have that rookie moment.
Yeah.
Like, what was your rookie moment this season for the Cleveland Browns?
Shoot. That's a good question. I mean, I'd probably have to say the Steelers game.
Thanks for that.
just the camaraderie I got from my teammates,
yeah,
my coaches. I feel like the level of respect that I earned,
yeah,
in the building, I think that was probably my biggest takeaway from that game for sure.
So you played with a lot of dudes in Las Vegas. Like Seth Tillman was your teammate, I believe.
Yep.
And one of the guys coming out in this draft, I think, was 2 years younger than you, Rome Odunze.
Yep.
Did you get a chance to play with him?
I did. He was on the senior team when I had Cedric Tillman, Brevin Jordan, Jalen Naylor.
Good Lord.
All receivers are
Jalen Naylor was on that team.
Wow.
That's right.
All receivers and tight ends that's going to be in the league now.
So let me ask you about Rome Odunze, because he has a chance to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Was he a late bloomer, or was he physical then back in the day?
I wouldn't say he was a late bloomer, but you just heard the guys I named. So.
Yeah. And he was playing with those guys.
That pie is only so much. But yeah, at the time, he was a young buck, so he kind of got the short end of the stick of things. But no, we always knew Rome had talent. We always knew he was going to be special, especially when he got his opportunity in college.
So no surprises with the way he played this year?
Oh, no. And you said you think he's going to be a top 10 pick. I think he should be. So.
Absolutely.
I do too.
Yeah.
I got to ask you about Joe Flacco. I mean, obviously the quarterback. Just talk to me about the quarterback room in general. It's obviously a unique place, a unique environment. You guys have a certain camaraderie and chemistry. But
right.
Talk to me about when Joe got in there, like the old man in the room, and like, how everything kind of went on the rest of the way. What did you learn from him?
Yeah, I mean, first I want to start by saying Joe is a phenomenal person, on top of being a phenomenal quarterback and MVP and all that. But, man, I learned so much from him. I mean, just the first time he got there when we first signed him, and he's taking practice squad reps and doing 7-on-7, he's lighting our defense up at practice. And I'm just in awe because I'm a fan of quarterbacks. So right then and there, I fell into just falling or asking him questions, watching film afterwards and beforehand. He taught me a lot about the game, not only just asking him questions but watching him and how he carries himself too. So,
yeah. So going from Joe Flacco, I want to talk about your head coach. I want you to be his marketing agent right now.
Should
Kevin Stefanski be head coach of the year? And two, explain why.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. It's written all year. We've gone through injuries. He's been put in a bunch of situations situations, and he's made the most out of them. He's put his players in position, like myself, to win football games, and we did it at a high level this year. Obviously, we came up short in the end, but man, I couldn't have asked for a better head coach.
Can you talk a little bit about C.J. Stroud? Because you faced the Texans twice. You beat them late in the season, week 16. He didn't play in that game. And then in the playoffs, he was playing out of his mind, and he had a lot of answers for a Jim Schwartz defense that very few teams had answers for. We saw him week one against the Ravens, and he looked lost, and that's just reality. And then something clicked. Were you surprised with the way he played, or were you not surprised? Or what did you take away from what he was able to do from across the field?
No, man, I wasn't surprised at all. Like you said, he struggled a little bit in the beginning. But again, I feel like it's more so a credit to, you know, the guys around him, his coaching staff, the way he's developed. And he's taken all that and run with it. It's the same thing with Brock Purdy and those guys. And what I'm trying to aspire to be is to be able to take an opportunity and really run with it. And I think he's done that at a high level this year for sure.
Absolutely. All right. You got something, Brady? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we got to get his prediction right for the game.
Yeah, man.
Before we do that, we're going to play a little game for social. I got Ruben Palacios. So listen, we want to create the perfect offense, and you can pick. I'm going to give you the categories: quarterback, running back, two wide receivers, and tight end. No Browns players, so you don't have to go back and answer questions about that.
Oh, man.
So we'll start with tight end. We'll go reverse order. So if you could have any tight end
any
in the
tight
league.
Tight end.
And I can't pick a Browns player.
No Browns player. I can't pick my Pro Bowler, man. And no Brevin Jordan. You can't get teammates from high school either.
No, you can't take a Joker.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the one in the Super Bowl. I'm going to go with Kelsey.
I'm going to go with Kelsey. Right. You're okay
now,
with
now, is that
the...
because you maybe want to meet, like, Taylor Swift at some point?
Oh, man.
I ain't going to say all that.
At least not on TV.
All right, two wide receivers. Any wide receivers you want. Who do you want to be throwing to?
Shoot. If I'm the OC... I want let me get Jamar from the Bengals, and then let me get Jay Jettas. Let me do the LSU combo.
Wow, all right.
Hey, it worked for Joe Burrow.
Exactly. I got chemistry together already. We should be straight.
All right, running back.
Ooh. That's a tough one. Let me see. I want to go with Pacheco because I like how he run. He run hard and nasty.
Someone said he ran like a little kid trying on shoes.
Oh man!
I think Nate Burleson said that. I think he said that.
No, I'm gonna go with Pacheco.
That's not a bad one, man. Okay. He runs
angry. Go back.
Yeah.
All right, QB. No Browns QB, so you can't get yourself. You can't hand one out to Joe Flacco or Deshaun.
Shoot, I know he didn't play this year, but let me go with A-Rod. Let me go with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
He stayed with the West Coast, though. Yeah. He stayed with that West Coast.
You know how to ball.
Brady beat me to the question. Who do you like in the Super Bowl, this matchup, Super Bowl 58? Let me ask you this first. Who did you grow up rooting for?
So I was a St. Louis Rams fan.
Okay.
I'm throwing it back. Yeah.
So you were probably like Greatest Show on Turf, right? Yeah. Like through that at that time?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So you don't have a dog in this fight. So who do you like?
No. But shoot, let's go with the
see if he holds to the AFC allegiance.
That's what I'm trying to see.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs on this one. I think it'll be a close game, though. But, again, Mahomes has been in these situations. I like a guy that's been there with experience before. So
You got a
score prediction?
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
I hate doing score predictions because I feel like it's going to be a high-scoring game, though.
I almost don't even want to ask players about anything in regards to that just because of the whole betting thing.
That is true.
You pick the Chiefs, good enough for me. High scoring. All right, let's move on. I don't know what they can or cannot do anymore. Yeah. So.
That's true. Yeah. By the way, you know Patrick Mahomes is good. When with his shirt off, he looks like me. So that's a good way to go. That two-pack. I mean, that was tough. All right. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, shout out to Columbia, South Carolina. Thank you for joining us here on set here at Super Bowl 58 at the Bellagio. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about those quarterbacks, Brock Purdy, Patrick Mahomes, right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here's a comforting thought, 49ers fans. San Francisco's offense is absolutely stacked. The Niners were the first team since the 2004 Colts to have a 4,000-yard passer and four players with over 1,000 yards from scrimmage in one season. Brock Purdy threw the ball for 4,000 yards and led in yards per attempt. Christian McCaffrey led the league in rushing. Deebo Samuel led the league in yards after catch per reception. Brandon Ayuk led the league in first down percentage, and George Kittle led all tight ends in yards per catch. So the 49ers should have a ton of ways to move the ball and score points, and that's got to feel pretty good.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast here at the Bellagio. Stream wall-to-wall coverage with our CBS Sports HQ team of hosts, insiders, and analysts as they tackle the biggest storylines, interview the game's brightest stars, and keep you up to date with the latest betting odds and much more leading up to the best Sunday of the year, Super Bowl 58 here in Las Vegas. All right, boys, we are back. Brady Quinn, Lee J. Doosable, Will Brinson. Talking quarterbacks. And look, this ain't going to be a long conversation. I think we know where the quarterback discussion is going to go. So, Brinson, I'll ask you first. If you're picking, and shout out to Brock Purdy. He was in the MVP conversation long into the season.
For sure.
And I'm not trying to slight him, but let's be real.
If you combined, like, Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy, I don't know how you would combine them. I don't, like even their best traits wouldn't be better than like Mahomes
on his twins. Is that
yeah.
So they have four arms.
They can throw two passes at once.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, let's do this. Brady, I'll come to you first.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes or Brock Purdy.
It's Patrick Mahomes for me, Ryan.
Okay, thank you, sir.
We can talk about the experience, the talent, ability, everything else. The reality is he is the best quarterback in the game. If he wins this Super Bowl, he's going to be viewed as one of the best all time. Probably should be already viewed that way.
Correct.
Based on what he's done since he's taken over starting. So, to me, I just appreciate how his game's developed.
Yeah.
He's become a guy who can carry a team, can make the special play, to now that realize he doesn't have to. But when called upon, he can and will. Yeah. So, we're very all blessed to be able to watch this young man play. And I think he's in for a big day on Sunday.
Yeah, it's Patrick Mahomes. I don't even think this is up for a debate. 14 playoff wins. And the kid's not even 30 yet, Brady. You talked about it, the maturation of Patrick Mahomes, where earlier in his career, he had to put on the cape, right, and had to do it all. And we saw last year, even in that second half, it was almost a shootout between the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, this year he's learned with the championship-type defense that he can just take what the defense has given him. And me and Brady had this discussion the other day. I think the biggest growth for him is not forcing things down the field. Like, some of his biggest plays we talked about in the AFC title game was just taking the sack and letting the clock run for 40 seconds. Like, we saw earlier in the season versus Denver Broncos where he struggled in that avenue, where he would throw the ball down the field and throw interceptions. Well, we've seen the growth the last few weeks in the playoffs, so it's Patrick Mahomes. It's not even up for debate.
It's interesting because, you know, when Tom Brady was playing with the Patriots early in his career, you could argue that he was maybe even a game manager.
Correct.
I also think you could say that the NFL changed the rules for offenses because of Bill Belichick's defense. Well, NFL defenses have changed the way they approach the game because of Patrick Mahomes. Like, the rise of the cover two shell, has like almost entirely because of Mahomes and Josh Allen, their ability to push the ball down the field.
Yep. He's the Steph Curry of the NFL.
For sure.
I mean, he is. I mean, if you look at, too, the way I think young kids play the game, they're all trying to mimic Patrick Mahomes, the no-look throws, the crossbody throws, the things that we were always told, like, that's a cardinal sin. Right, you do not do that. They've opened that up now. And I think just it goes to show you, I think, what he's done for this game so far.
I have a little kingpin thing going on there.
it looks like a bird had nestled at one point in your hair.
But to your point, Brady, do you think that's a detriment to the game because of how he plays?
No.
Because a lot of people said the same thing about Steph Curry. Like, the fundamentals have gone out the window.
The detriment is for young quarterbacks coming into the league is that's the expectation or that's the measuring stick. Like, good luck. Because his first year starting, he was an MVP through 50 touchdowns.
Correct.
And then he's never really looked back. So that's the tough part, you know, is he was –
put in a perfect situation to be where he's at now. And he's excelled, and he's obviously run with it. But I think it's a detriment to every young quarterback. It's like, we just had DTR up here. Hey, try to be Patrick Mahomes. Try to be the next guy. Good luck.
Mahomes is basically like two plays away from going to six straight Super Bowls to start his career. Yeah. That's outrageous.
Insane.
All right, let's talk about wide receivers, the guys that the quarterbacks will be throwing the ball to. We'll start on the San Francisco side of things. Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. And we have this conversation every day, I feel like, about who's the most important player on that San Francisco offense. Lijay, I'll ask you.
Yeah.
How, I mean, we talked about the fit for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I don't know what that would look like if he had these playmakers, but how has that helped Brock Purdy in your mind? And let me ask you, I think Ayuk has gotten so much better as a route runner, but who's the most effective player in this offense for Kyle Shanahan, Ayuk or Deebo?
That's a good question. To me, Deebo Samuel is the heartbeat of this team, right? We saw coming out in the second half versus the Detroit Lions when they're down by 17, that in-breaking route, and you saw the energy that Deebo Samuel had, right? It kind of ignited this team. So I would say Deebo's probably more important. I would say Brandon Ayuk is a better pure receiver than him. And when you look at Deebo, right, and perfect nickname, I know you guys have all seen the movie Friday, like Brady, he makes defenders make business decisions, kind of like Deebo in the movie. Right. Riding around with his bike, everybody's running away. Here comes Deebo. We'll see safeties in the NFL make business decisions when Deebo catches the ball over the middle of the field. He turns into a running back. So, to me, Deebo Samuel is probably the most important player when you talk about receivers, right? I think Christian McCaffrey overall is the most important player on this team. But Deebo Samuel is the most important receiver because he's the heartbeat. He's kind of the tone setter on that offense.
I'll quickly say this. Look, I think we'll all agree San Francisco has the edge of wide receiver.
Yeah.
Yes. I love how Brandon Ayuk has continued to develop. And to your point about him being probably the more traditional wide receiver in this offense, you can almost make the case he's a bit more valuable too, only because they have so many other versatile players like Deebo, because Christian McCaffrey can do a lot. Kittle can do a lot. Juszczyk can do a lot. So because of that, you almost have to have, though, that number one guy you can hang your hat on. Brandon Ayuk has been that. He's really developed himself into that, in that big play receiver for him. And so to that point, you know, it doesn't matter which one you want to pick before the other. They have different roles within this offense. I think what it highlights, though, with Deebo is the brilliance of Kyle Shanahan is showcased because of his versatility.
Well, and I think when you talk about the brilliance of Kyle Shanahan and you talk about the differences between Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, like, let's give credit in the same way Andy Reid deserves credit for it, too, for building around Patrick Mahomes. Kyle Shanahan deserves credit for going and getting these guys specifically designed to complement each other around Brock Purdy. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, and Deebo Samuel all do different things. Yeah. I think, you know, Ayuk is, again, more of a traditional guy. The other three guys are unicorns when it comes to, like, their position. But, I mean, all those guys together combined to really form this nucleus of skill position guys that make Brock Purdy the perfect point guard in the offense.
Look, you have five eligible guys to 30, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to build your starting five like an NBA team. Each one of those players on an NBA team, at least back in the day, used to have kind of more of a design-specific role. That's what you get within the Kyle Shanahan offense.
So who's the power forward?
Kittle,
yeah.
Kittle, for sure.
I mean, however you want to look at it.
So who's small forward shooting guard?
I would say McCaffrey, which is more the point. He's going to touch the ball more.
Oh, was gonna go,
Deebo, I think, is more of the shooting guard.
Oh, okay.
Really? I put Ayuk, to me, at small forward.
Okay.
And then you've got your bruisers, your big guys, the Juszczyk.
I would flip it. I think Deebo is more of the small forward because he's more versatile, right?
Okay.
And then Brandon Ayuk was more the traditional receiver, so he's a spot-up shooter.
I think Purdy's the point guard.
No. The quarterback's not in the conversation. You build your five pass catchers with the various roles.
You would be a shoot first point guard.
Hey, Brady, let me ask you this.
I was a small forward. So.
I was going to make a Hoosier joke, but it didn't come to me. So, let me ask you this, Jimmy Chitwood. Let's talk about Rashee Rice.
Picket fence? Okay.
Because I want to ask you, as a quarterback, the progress he made coming in from the start of the season. Lijay and I saw him at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
I didn't love him. He wasn't creating the separation that we see now. He's gotten so much better. And when you're a quarterback, being able to rely on a rookie to be where you need him to be at this point seems pretty important.
No, it's incredibly important. And even more so, like, look, working its man-to-man coverage, it's something that I think as you get in the NFL, you kind of it's not necessarily a learned trait. It's just understanding, like, the difference of how physical the DBs are going to be, how to work on your releases, how to use your hands, and getting a feel for the sense of timing.
but they're not going to see a ton of that from San Francisco.
Right.
So really the next step of development, and what's harder is understanding zone coverage and the windows within them.
Yep.
Usually it takes a while for wide receivers to say, like, hey, out of this cut, I need to be aware of where the football, because it's coming into this window. And if it's not, I got to extend to the next window.
Right.
And having a feel for that, or understanding how to throttle down. They don't, every wide receiver, when they're young and they're fast, right, they go to the combine, they run a 4.3 40, they want to show everyone how fast they are. The game's not always played like that.
Yep.
Those windows sometimes you can run through when you're running too right. fast through it. And that's why a guy like Deebo Samuels, who runs, what, a 4.5?
Yeah.
High 4.5?
Yes, that's right.
But he's still a lot faster, yeah.
He plays at that speed, though,
yeah.
But that speed works to find those zone windows. His development and having a better feel for zone coverage, I think, is what he's allowed this offense to excel throwing the football, and that's what he's going to face on Sunday versus San Francisco.
All right, quickly.
By the way, just the third receiver in Andy Reid, is it a first year in Andy Reid's system to go over 750 yards?
All right, give me a name. Yeah. You taking or the group? You taking San Francisco?
Debo.
San Fran. All right, let's talk about these running backs here. And we're going to talk about navigating storms.
Ooh.
Presented by America's Navy Reserve. All right, we mentioned Chris McCaffrey.
This is pretty simple, right?
This should be quarterback conversation, right?
Like, just Chris McCaffrey and you running backs and you, Chase.
This should be a landslide.
This should be faster than the quarterback conversation.
Yes.
DTR won Pacheco.
Well, I wanted to give him a nudge, like, hey, man,
McCaffrey.
Don't forget about C-Mac.
I almost said, like, CMC.
He's
going to
win offensive player of the year.
I think that's one of those things where he couldn't get the wheels turning, which often happens. Yeah. To me, and yeah, he went with. I get it.
We put him on the spot. That's our fault.
I mean, CMC was more of a realistic candidate to win MVP than
for sure. He was.
All right.
He's going to win Offensive Player of the Year.
He should.
That was my lock of the year before the season.
Was it really?
Ooh, I like
you
that.
Got one right.
11-1.
I got one right.
What?
That's good. That's good.
It's been a long season.
It's been a long season. It's been a long year.
Not as bad as Ryan 1 week, though. You did the impossible.
0-13.
0-13 against the spread is incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know about it.
You can do that in 100 years if you tried.
I know.
Ryan did it in 2024.
Wow. Here's the most predictable thing about that. I didn't know anything about it because I don't pay attention to the picks. I'm not an expert picker. I get a text from Pete Prisco laughing at me, and then he proceeded to tell me what happened. All right.
Wow.
Shout out to Christian McCaffrey for winning that. We're going to talk about tight ends now.
Ooh.
And this is where things get interesting. And, Lejay, I'll come to you first.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the Pick 6 podcast earlier in the week. I think the answer's obvious, but maybe we'll deliberate on it a little bit more. Travis Kelce or George Kittle?
You made a face.
I didn't make a face. I lean towards Kelce, right? But George Kittle, to me, is the most complete tight end in the NFL currently right now. But when you look at what Travis Kelce has done in his career, right, number one in receptions in playoff history, right, number two in receiving yards in playoff history. And we were talking about Rashee Rice and understanding zone. I mean, no tight end does it better than Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And, Brady, we talked about this. We just could not believe Baltimore allowed him free access in the AFC Championship game in the first half. Like, not getting your hands on him at the line of scrimmage is a death sentence,
yep.
Right? I guarantee Steve Wilkes has been talking about this with his defense all week long. Even if it's run plays, just fester Travis Kelce, because for some reason in the playoffs, he just turns into another guy that Patrick Mahomes already has a great rapport with, but he seems unstoppable, because I know people were saying Kyle Hamilton, you know, the Ravens got Kyle Hamilton. I think that pissed off Travis Kelce, because he's like, nobody's guarding me 101. Right. You could tell that he took it to heart.
And even if they mugged him at the line, he'd probably just shake it off and, you know, go out there and catch the ball anyway.
Well, we don't start any bad blood, but
no, very good. Look, you're a mastermind of those things. Let me ask you this, Brady. Realistically, obviously they would say this if they were answering at the podium, but do you think that Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid would actually choose their respective tight ends over the other one because of the system?
That's a great question.
Really?
Maybe, but, you know, again, that's not really the reality we live in, because I think Travis Kelce could do a lot of the things Kittle does. Now, he's not going to maybe be able to block as well.
Right.
Yeah.
There might be some things he could do down the field in the passing game a little better.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Kyle Shanahan would love Travis Kelce.
And I think this is a very, very close matchup between the two because of their differences.
Yes.
Right? Because if you're really looking at your traditional, you know, wide tight end blocking tight end, you'd give the edge to Kittle in the sense of his blocking ability. But as far
far as pass catching, and this is such a passing game, you have to give the edge to Kelce.
Yeah.
I think the funny thing about how we keep talking about how he always gets open is I think, honestly, I don't know that Patrick Mahomes knows where he's going to be all the time.
No, he doesn't. Oh, no.
Because I think he breaks off routes and he kind of says, I know he's going to be in a soft spot of the zone at some point, and I know I can look them off and just turn back and find him.
Kelce actually said on his podcast, New Heights, he was saying, he goes, you know, maybe I should like follow those lines that Big Red draws a little bit more often, which tells you, like, it's crazy that Andy Reid gives him so much freedom in this offensive system, but it works perfectly in concert with Mahomes.
And it's why, if you're Steve Wilks, you have to come out of your comfort zone of playing so much zone.
Yeah.
You got to put two guys on and mug him at the line.
Not too much zero, though, because Kyle will call you out.
That's fine.
That happened earlier this year.
My whole thing is you have to find a way of disrupting him, because if you play a man-to-man, he's probably going to beat whoever he's matched up against.
Yeah.
So you got to almost put two guys on him the whole time and then ask Rishi Rice to beat you.
Make Rishi Rice beat you.
Isaiah Pacheco and then the running game beat you.
For sure.
If you do that game plan, that's a winning game plan for San Francisco.
Well, yeah, I thought it was interesting last week, the Ravens, the second half. I know you said the Chiefs got a little bit more conservative, but they also got more physical with Kelce at the line of scrimmage, even in zone, blitzes, right? We saw Patrick Queen hit him, and then there was times, right?
Get a little chippy.
We saw it at times when they were going zone, and they dropped Calvin Noy under him, and then they have a corner on top of him. So I think Steve Wilks will look at that and maybe implement some of that and play a little bit more man coverage, which the 49ers actually did in the second half versus the Detroit Lions. Now, Josh Reynolds had some drops. Josh Reynolds had some drops, which saved them, but he did mix it up and play a little bit more man in the second half.
By the way, the one thing that's sort of been undersold here is, like, 4 years ago, you know, you're talking about defensive coordinators.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Wilks is a great coach. People love him. But you do wonder if there's a bit of a drop-off there in terms of the defense. And now you're dealing with a Mahomes, like an evolved Mahomes.
All right, that's a great segue, because after the break, we're going to talk Alijay Douzbal's side of the ball. A little defense. Alijay, get warmed up.
Oh, yeah.
Pick Six Podcast love here.
It. Okay, well.
Founds of the Bellagio. We'll be right back after this.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit RobertHalf.com today.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast here on CBS Sports HQ. Allegiant Stadium, home of the Las Vegas Raiders during the regular season, home of Super Bowl 58 on Sunday. Going to talk offensive line real quick, boys, before we get to Lijay's defense here. Who has the edge? All I need is one-word answer. Joe Tooney's going to be out. The left guard, that's a concern. Wolfpack sign there for our guy Will Brinson. Brady, I'll come to you. Who has the edge?
Kansas City, it's slight, though.
With Tooney being out?
Yes, Allegretti's played well on a spot, and the tackles have played better since they got into the postseason.
Lijay, what do you got?
I'm going 49ers because Tooney's out. I think Allegretti has played well. I think he struggled a little bit against Justin Madubuike, but he's an all-pro. But the tackles have struggled. Now, they've played a little bit better in the playoffs. But Aaron Banks, the left guard for the 49ers, has not given up a sack this year. So I think you got to pair him with Trent Williams. I'll give the edge to the 49ers.
The right side's a concern, though.
Yeah. I'll go slight 49ers because the only offensive lineman I love more than Joe Tooney and Garrett Bradbury is Trent Williams.
All right. Now, Lijay, you got your track shoes on. We're going to talk a little defense here. I'll let you take the floor here.
Okay.
Defensive line, going to talk who has the edge, of course. Nick Bosa on one side.
Correct.
Chris Jones on the other.
This is a lot closer than people most probably would think if you just look on paper at the two defensive lines. I'm going to get an edge to the 49ers. You talked about it, Nick Bosa. 10 sacks already as a 49er, which is most in the 49ers' history. When you look at what they also have up front, Javon Hargrave has been a perennial pro bowler. They need him to have a big game this week. Eric Armstead, former first-round pick, has played really well as well. And then Chase Young has actually saw a dip in performance since he's come over from the Commanders, but played a lot better against the run in that second half versus the Detroit Lions. I'd say it's close because when you look at that team and what Chris Jones has done, like, he's been a man possessing. George Karloftis, double-digit sacks this year. He's been under the radar really good as well, but I give the edge to the 49ers.
Brady, what do you think?
49ers, too.
Brinson?
Chiefs have the best player, 49ers have the best line.
All right, Brenton, I'll come back to you. I'm going to let Brady talk with the DBs here because he has to throw against those guys. You're the linebacker of our Pick 6 podcast today. So let's start with Fred Warner. And we have Nick Bolton and Willie Gay. But, I mean, I think the conversation begins and ends with Fred Warner.
Yeah, Warner. I mean, I think you give the edge to the Niners here, Fred Warner.
Yeah. With Jay, you're just going to forget Dre Greenlaw?
Yeah, Dre Greenlaw.
I think the edge is the 49ers for sure.
49ers.
Yeah. No Drew Tranquil shout out there?
No, he's played well.
He's played really well.
And obviously in replace of Willie Gay. And look, again, on an underscore, the linebacker play for KC has been good.
Yeah.
But still, Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner are two of the best.
You talk about a man possessed. Dre Greenlaw is playing.
For sure.
Our buddy Rick Spielman says, look, his hair's on fire. All right, Brady, I'll come to you because you got to throw against the DBs here. Trent McDuffie, that draft class was insane two years ago for the Chiefs. Justin Reed. LeJarius Sneed, Charvarius Ward,
Williams.
Who played on both sides. Josh Williams, Fayetteville State.
And Watson, too. You can throw him in there. Jalen
and
Watson.
And Deshaun Gibson. So, who has
KC.
The edge?
KC. I think they can do more defensively. You don't have to have as many concerns. They can match up. LeJarius Sneed can match up with Brandon Ayuk. You can put Trent McDuffie on Deebo Samuel in the slot. I think Steve Spagnuolo probably feels more comfortable with the way this roster matches up with what they're going to see from San Francisco and really the way they've looked all year long. The strength of their team's been up front and their secondary and the way these two have really played together. So, I think it's hands down, at least what we've seen too in the postseason thus far, Kansas City. San Francisco's been thrown on. They've had a lot of issues, man.
I was going to say, and like, shout out to Brett Veach and Andy Reid, too, and the entire front office, because you trade Tyreek Hill. People were talking halfway through this season, oh, did the Chiefs lose the Tyreek Hill trade? No, they won a Super Bowl, and they're back in another one, and they built this defense on the back of this Tyreek Hill trade.
Which brings us full circle. Oh, go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, when you look at the secondary, I'll take it one step further, Brady. I don't think they just have the edge in this. I think this is the best secondary in football. When you look at Trent McDuffie being an all-pro, I think LeJarius Sneed should have been an all-pro, too. I mean, he didn't give up his first touchdown, Brady, to that divisional round game versus the Buffalo Bills, and then Watson coming in and Williams coming in at corner when McDuffie slides in, and then Justin Reed, I mean, he's like weapon X for them on defense. He's able to line up middlefield safety, line up in the linebacker position. Brady, they put him on the edge sometimes, so he does so much for Steve Spagnuolo's defense. I thought he played at a Pro Bowl level as well, so I don't even think this is close. I think they have the best secondary in football.
And that brings it full circle. Steve Spagnuolo, best defense coordinator ever. I thought producer Lucas was joking. We're going to take a quick break, and in honor of our guy John Breach, we're going to talk special teams. All right, we'll do that next, producer Lucas, right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Pick 6 Podcast here from the fountains at the Bellagio. Thought we were going to have a scene because say fun fact. Right back there, spoof wedding for Lee J. Doozable. So if you're in town, check it out.
Huh? Oh, yeah. It was fun, man. A lot of fun.
We got 2.5 minutes, Lee J. So.
I know. Alan from Hangover was the one that proceeded over our wedding.
Very all right, cool.
Not the real one.
Shout out to
you, by the way. W.
I enjoyed that. That was fun. Yeah,
shout out to our colleague and special teams correspondent here at the Pick 6 Podcast, John Breach, for putting together these the edges to the kicker position, we'll start there. I'll read them out, and you can react, or you can just give me the Pete Prisco wave when it talks about special teams. He gave the edge to the kicker to the Chiefs, which I think makes sense. Harrison Buckner versus Jake Moody.
That works.
Struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
The punter position, Tommy Townsend with that great head of hair and Wisnowski.
For sure.
Yeah.
Wisnowski.
He went with Tommy Townsend.
Townsend makes sense.
Yeah.
Should be a clean sweep there, yeah.
By the way, fun fact, Harrison Buckner had a 3.86 GPA in industrial engineering at Georgia Tech in college.
Yeah. Why do you know that?
I don't know.
Weird facts that Will Brinson knows.
I talked to him at the combine.
And that's why we love you, Will.
I talked to him at the combine when he was coming out.
So he doesn't have to play in the NFL. He could do something else.
That's right. He could be.
Brady Quinn getting shout-outs as we finish the show here. And finally, and you're exactly right, you read the tea leaves, Brady. The return unit is, of course, the Chiefs. And in the time we have left, and we talked about this on the Pick 6 podcast,
that
CJ.
That could be a toss-up.
I want you to tell your story on the return team about the person you hit the hardest in 30 seconds or less. Because we're talking return, and return isn't as important as it was, but this story is crazy.
Yeah, we had a trap block when I was at Jacksonville on kick return, and Sean Lee was L5. People don't know. He's right there literally on the hash mark.
Left side. Fifth guy in.
And he didn't see me coming, Rye and Brady, and I literally knocked him over. We had things called jack cameras for guys that did that. Not only did I do it once, I did it twice in that game. Felt kind of bad because I had to carry him up the field the second time.
Oh, hey, you shouldn't feel bad about that. Yeah. Right. Head on the swivel.
Yeah.
That's why they need to bring back the Oklahoma drill, right? It taught you some lessons for special teams, right?
Yes. It made a lot of basketball players, too.
That is true.
All right, this segment has been brought to you by Sean Lee's Health. Sean, I hope you're doing well.
Oh, God.
That's a wrap for CBS Sports HQ here. The Pick 6 Podcast coming to you live from Bellagio. For Brady, Tyron Quinn, Lee J. The Legend, Dudesville, Robert William Brinson, I'm Ryan Wilson. Thank you, guys. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.